This is the UNC Coaches Show, presented by Bank of Colorado, on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here's Mike Rice.
That's our Tuesday gathering right here at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place. Glad you are with us. As always, we'll have some cool drawings for some UNC swag. We'll talk UNC men's basketball, the entire show, chock full of everything you want to know about the Bears, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We welcome in head coach Steve Smiley. Good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. Let's get to the riffraff so we get to the real guys, you know, halfway through. Get to the nonsense so we get to the stars. So that's the goal.
So what you're saying is you're the B team starting
it
off slow.
I'm the B team, man. Get the B team on here and then get the stars on here.
Yeah, you brought a couple players down tonight. Who'd you bring?
Yes, we have St. Thomas and DeJour Reeves, two new guys that are having just awesome years for us, great kids. And I'm sure you'll kind of go through their stats and stuff.
Yep.
But, you know, they really impact winning. And I think anytime you bring, you know, any new kid to the program, D1 transfer, JUCO transfer, high school kid, foreign kid, doesn't matter. Usually it takes quite a while to just kind of, you know, assimilate. And they've both done a great job of really understanding what we're trying to do. And we're still gelling as a team. We're not, you know, anywhere near our peak yet, but they've had a phenomenal start to the year, and they're just going to keep getting better and better.
Yeah, we will talk to those guys. Mm-hmm. And I've got the numbers. The crack research staff ran the numbers.
That's right.
You might be surprised. In fact, I'm going to ask you. If I asked you what percentage of your offense on an average game, in an average game, are those two guys scoring? What do you think it is?
In terms of how many points per game.
How many points per game combined percentage of your total average per game?
They're combined for about 34, 35 points. So it's probably about, you know, 45, 50%.
That's exactly right, 45%. Man. See, you know your team.
I know my stats. I know my stats.
Yes, you do. Oh, yeah. I'm sure you do. Hey, let's go back to Friday night in Boulder. Steve, Brian and Tanner this morning on KFKA asked me what one of my biggest impressions were or was coming out of that game. The first one is CU is really, really good.
Yeah, they're really good. I think they're in a good spot, you know, confidence wise, and obviously, you know, playing them after they beat Miami by 30 on a neutral court, and I think Miami was ranked like 15th or 17th in the country, and really CU just dismantled them. I mean, so we knew how good they were. It's funny, we actually watched the entire film the last 2 days as a team. Watched the first half yesterday, and then we watched the majority of the second half today. And our first 12 minutes was great. You know, we're right there. Had a big lull, a couple mistakes, you know, and really just missed a couple shots. And that was a stretch where we missed some free throws, missed some shots, turnovers, things like that. In a team like that, if you have those mistakes, especially consecutively, boom. You know, now that 7-point lead turns into, you know, 17 to 21 or whatever, and that's kind of where, you know, where the halftime went. Had a bad start to the second half, you know, made some different, you know, kind of lineup rotations. And I think after the first 5 minutes of the second half, we were really good. You know, that second half, you know, I thought we did a really good job. So, you know, first impression, though, is that they're very talented. They're very good. I was asking their coaches afterwards, and I said, obviously, you're probably better with Cody Williams, who didn't play, and he's a projected top 5 pick in the draft. I said, but you have a team, experience-wise, that when you lose someone like that, you don't have a drop-off. And, you know, and they're like, yeah, that's absolutely right. We are better with Cody. But at the same point in time, they're so old, and that's the continuity. And that's – you look at our team as we continue to gel together. I mean, shoot, if we can keep all these guys together next year, it's like, look, like, you know, we only are losing, you know, 1, 2, 3 guys, at least on paper, that – continuity in college basketball is very rare now.
Exactly.
And, you know, CU this year, they've taken a big step because, you know, guys like Luke O'Brien, Julian Hammonds, obviously KJ Simpson is very good, Tristan Da Silva, but they got like 5 or 6 guys that they've played together for 4 years. So they know exactly who they are, and that's a big thing, Hadley as well. So, no, they're really good. Really good.
Yeah, let me ask you this, because I thought they extended their defense out beyond the 3-point line. You knew you were going to see that, but they're aggressive. How much does that help, as you know, to see that at that level as you guys now prepare for Big Sky play?
Yeah, I think it helps, and I think that you know, we told our guys, like, the first 4 minutes of both the first and second half, they're going to try to really expose you, and the first 4 minutes we had no issue at all. I mean, and in fact, I think we're leading, and And so I didn't feel, you know, the pressure was not a big deal until they started getting that lead with about 7-8 minutes left, and then they stretched out with some real pressure. But I think it is good because there are a couple teams in our league, teams like Portland State, that are very good in the press and being aggressive, that you have to go through that style to understand it. So I think it will certainly be a benefit to us.
UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley with us at the GOAT on the UNC Coaches Show. We'll hear from St. Thomas. We'll hear from Day-Day Reeves a little bit later on in the show. We are here until 7. All in all, though, after you watch the film, and you detailed all your breakdown process last week when you were with us, was there – no coach likes to lose, but did you feel good enough that, all right, it was worth it from the standpoint of we got some quality things out of it?
Yeah, I was more at peace with that one after watching it than the Commerce one. I mean, like I told you last time, I don't think I slept for about 2 days and you know, a couple of mistakes that, you know, I definitely owned that should have been clear with the team. But the CU game, honestly, you know, if we just would have made some shots that were good shots, and I think we have good players taking good shots, and so if you take those shots and you miss them, we can certainly live with that. So I thought we did a good job. We executed the game plan, and I think we learned a lot from them. So there's definitely some positives coming out of that one for sure.
Steve, as you mentioned shooting. You guys are, what, about 30, 31% from downtown?
Too low. Yeah,
I was going to say, give me your thoughts on that and where – you know, why you think that is and where you'd like to see your club. What's realistic?
Well, I think, you know, and it's funny, too, like now we're at a point in time where from two we're really getting to a point where we're pretty elite finishing at the rim. I just showed the guys some stuff today that our free throws are going up. You know, you look at, you know, these two guys here, I think DeJure's at like 85%, Saints at 80% from the free throw line. So if the right guys are taking free throws, we're fine. Brock's shooting 75% from the free throw line. Riley's at 100%. But the big thing is that a little bit of an anomaly, the way that we want to play, is that we're taking the same amount of threes that we like to take. We like to take a lot of threes. You know, that's how the system's built, just to, you know, stretch you out and shoot at four spots, even five. We're not shooting as well as we'd like to shoot. I think, you know, you look at everyone, they're maybe a couple percentage points below what we think they can shoot. That's part of it. But then, two, one of the things I told our teams, we've got to find a way to understand that we're really good around the rim right now, whether that's driving, attacking, finishing, posting up. So I've got to do a good job in terms of when we are calling sets to get some different stuff around the rim. And then the threes, we just got to keep playing with confidence. I really believe that at some point in time we're going to have a couple huge games, and it's going to get our numbers back to where I think they should be, which I don't know if you put a number on it, but this team should certainly be a team that's in the mid to upper 30s.
Yeah.
And we're just not there yet.
No, it's about 30 and a half.
Yeah.
And yet there's – you feel like the shot selection is good, and I know you chart that personally.
Oh, yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think in the last game we had six bad shots. Now, we didn't make any of them. That's kind of why, you know, bad shots are hard to make. You know,
yeah.
But we were 0-for-6. I think we took like 52 good shots, and we were something like, you know, 53% from those shots, which even that's a little low. But what hurt us was the turnovers. The turnovers really hurt us in that game, especially in the first half. We had 10 turnovers. They had 19 points off turnovers.
But, I mean, even from three land, do you like the shot selection?
Oh, yeah. That's what we recruited these guys to do. Now, again, there's a couple that are – depends. And, you know, all threes are not equal. You know, the best threes are, you know, those paint-touch rotation threes. You throw the ball in the post. I don't know. Maybe Saint has the ball. They double. He throws it out to whatever, to Jaron O'Reilly, and those are good shots. Those rotational threes are good shots. The threes where you just kind of look at a guy, you're dribbling around, you just take pull-up threes, those shots don't go in near as high. So they're not all created equal. But in the grand scheme of things, I do think we're taking pretty good shots. They're just not falling yet. And so we got to keep evaluating that. And you know, you look at like Zach. Zach had three great looks. Two of the three went in and out, but he's 0-for-3. Those things start to add up. You know, if he's 3-for-3, we're probably in that game, whatever it is. And he's certainly done that all summer, all fall. We believe he's a good shooter. He didn't make them. So you don't want to say, well, don't take any threes. We want our guys to be aggressive. They know what their strengths and weaknesses are.
Head coach Steve Smiley is with us on the UNC Coaches Show. We'll talk to St. Thomas. We'll talk to Day-Day Reeves here as we are at the GOAT until 7 o'clock. Do you – not all threes are created equal. Not all three-point shooters are either. Who has the green light from you basically any time?
Yeah, I mean, I think these two guys, they're learning what we think are good and bad shots. That's a big one. You know, Riley's a guy that, you know, he led the league in threes last year, but he's shooting 34%, you know, 35%. We think, and the shots he's getting are insane how open they are. Against Commerce, he was 4-for-10, he had 10 wide open looks. And we were talking about it, you know, in a meeting today. I think he's going to have a game soon. I'm assuming that that should be like 8 for 10. But so I just think that everyone's shooting a little bit below right now. Jaren's 3 for 15 from 3. Jaren is a career Division I 40% three-point shooter. He also had an injury to his shooting arm, and he's not shooting as well right now. So we just got to stay the course on that. So where he's you'd plan on him being 38 to 40, he's 20. We think Brock can shoot. He's only taken 11, but he's 1 for 11.
Right.
So all those little paper cuts start to add up. So I think in the grand scheme of things, again, it's they're not every three is created equal. Not every player is created equal in terms of who gets the green light to take those things. But I don't feel like, you know, like a guy like Langston, who's really good around the rim, I think he took 7 or 8 shots and only took 1 3. I didn't like the 3 he took because it was a step back pull up 3. It wasn't a good shot, and so he's got to, you know, eliminate that one. If he's in rhythm, catch and shoot, that's fine. So we're still learning, we're still adjusting and growing, but it is something that we're monitoring because we are not shooting at the level that we typically do.
So you feel good enough though that it's more on your guys just kind of going through a collective funk as opposed to the defense is putting pressure on you and not being able to handle those kind of things.
No, how open the shots is, and that's a good thing. You know, hopefully people kind of sleep on our ability to shoot going into league because our numbers say that we're not a great shooting team. But then, too, that's the other thing that when I do control it in terms of calling a set or a play, especially, you know, an ATO after timeout or a make, it needs to be something around the rim. You know, get the ball. Obviously, people that watch us know that I'm going to do a bunch of stuff to get Sane around the rim. Brock is shooting 59% around the rim. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy like DeJure, like a big part of our system is for him to get on his right hand, right? Big part of our system is for Jaren to get on his left hand. So those things, when we control it, that can, in theory, reduce the overall amount of threes we're taking a little bit, increase the twos, and I think that will help our percentage as well.
Yeah, you've got multiple guys who can take it off the bounce and attack the front of the iron.
Well, you know, a guy like Langston, you know, Langston had a great game. You know, Langston's opportunity is going to grow. You know, he's going to play a lot in this next game. He's earned it. And a guy like that changes what you do in a good way in the sense of, like, if he's in that mindset to get downhill and get to the rim, and he can really pass too.
He can
really pass. So, you know, again, we're still morphing and growing and, you know, learning what we are and what we aren't. And there's still a few more, you know, chess moves to make, but eventually we'll get the roster solidified, you know, into concrete.
Steve, I like the play where here's the basket. I mean, someone's out on the wing. Day-Day, I don't want you to give away trade secrets. Cuts the off-ball movement and then the bounce pass right there. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's Lobos. That's Lobos.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, no,
Lobos.
We have like 3 or 4 different actions to try to. Again, that's the same idea that to generate looks where we can get guys to the rim. Now that's a set play, but. That one's built in to have actually usually Saint at the 3 make that pass with his right hand.
Yeah.
And so there are.
And then Day-Day's on his right hand.
Yep, then Day-Day's cutting to the rim where he can finish on that right side. So there are things built in where we try to generate some different looks to get to the rim. So, you know, I think that we're making progress. I think we're learning, you know, exactly who we are. Our shot quality has gone up substantially over the last 3 games. Now we just got to keep, you know, making shots against Commerce. We scored 99 points. And we, you know, we shot it well. We made, I don't know, 10 or 12 threes or something like that. So it's there, but it's just not there every game yet.
UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley with us on the UNC Coaches Show. We'll catch up with St. Thomas. We'll catch up with Day-Day Reeves before we depart at 7 o'clock. We're at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place. We are giving away some UNC swag. Mm. We've got food specials, drink specials. Come on down and join us every Tuesday night right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Back in a moment. We are at the GOAT, UNC Coaches Show, 46th Avenue and Center Place every Tuesday night at 6. We are talking men's basketball tonight. Head coach Steve Smiley with us. Also, a couple of his really terrific newcomers, St. Thomas and Day-Day Reeves. They will be joining us before 7 o'clock. But, Steve, I want you to talk about these guys a little bit and the recruiting process. We'll get the thoughts from their perspective when they join us. But let's start with St. first, a transfer from Loyola Chicago. How'd you get a line on him?
Well, one, I'm just excited to hear kind of, you know, the first two guys we've had on the show, so it's going to be fun to hear kind of them talk. I mean, I think it's what the best thing about the show is. So, but no, I mean, he was a highly recruited player out of high school, great player, played on a great team. He can tell you more than I can in terms of, you know, played at Millard North in Omaha, Nebraska. I believe all five guys on the starting lineup were all Division I players, high-level guys. Had a kid that went to Gonzaga. But, you know, Saint, and he probably never tell you this, but I think Saint, I think he broke the record for most threes, maybe in the state championship game, state tournament game. Really could really shoot. Some people say, well, you know, can Saint shoot? Yeah, Saint can really shoot it. But, you know, heard about him early. Typical, you know, transfer portal.
Yeah.
And he popped in there. And what's crazy about these, you know, DeJure is a little different because we were aware of DeJure for 2 years, being in junior college down the road in Trinidad, Colorado. But, man, those, you know, those guys in the portal, that stuff moves pretty quick. And that's where, you know, you get in the portal. If you can get involved, or if you have a spot or whatever it is, you're trying to figure out who's going to be on your team. You know, what's retaining from your roster, what are your needs. But with, you know, and the cool thing about both these guys, they're the first two guys we signed, and in the spring. Now we signed Makai Cameron in the fall. We only signed one kid in the fall, but in the spring with both of them, we just really targeted those guys early on and knew that if you can get them, you can figure out the rest of the pieces around them. Like, well, you know, what's the fit? Who cares? You just got to figure it out.
Get a good player.
Yeah, and like, you know, if you talk about like the DeJure side of it, when we got DeJure, we felt like, okay, when we get another guard, that's where Jaron came into play. So we felt like, you know, DeJure can score it so well, and he can assist, and he can do all that stuff too, but he's elite at scoring. A guy like Jaron made sense because he wants to pass, right? So how do you complement the guys once you start to build your roster? But the biggest thing for Saint, and what's been great about it, is when we recruited him and we're lucky enough to sign him, is we felt like, you know, if we can play him at the three, it makes us a little different in our league. It makes us big. Obviously, you know, a team like Weber State with Dylan Jones, you know, that's what makes them different. And Saint has proven, and what's so cool, Saint's proven a lot of stuff, but he's proven, and we can play him at the four too, and we're going to, but he can be at the three. You can do different things. He can come off ball screens. You can put him below the defense. He can catch and shoot. But he's just been, you know, phenomenal, just his overall, you know, impact on the game. And then DeJure was a little bit different with his recruitment, that it was a little bit longer recruitment just because we knew him in junior college. And, you know, he just impacted winning his junior college team, and his coach Mike Fold does a great job. But his junior college team in that league, those guys usually don't win at the level that they did when DeJure was there for 2 years. And for 2 years, he averaged about 23 a game. And then his best basketball was when his team needed him the most in the tournament and then in the national tournament.
Yeah.
So, no, we're just really lucky to get both those guys.
Saints at 19 points, 10.3 rebounds, 3.5 assists, almost two steals, 45% from the field, 28% from three, 80.5% from the line. You can't ask much more.
No, and like even going, I know we talked about the threes, like, you know, right now he's 28%. He's a much better shooter than 28%.
Sure.
And we know that. And so that number we believe is going to rise. But you look at his overall impact on the game, I think he's like fourth in the league in assists, second in points, second in rebounds, and both his seconds are like identical to number one. So he's really close and leading the league in all his categories. And the coolest thing that you can't see is he don't even care. We also asked,
that's true. That's true.
We also asked Saint to guard the best player on the other team. And that's a big challenge. Hey, go chase that guy around. We didn't take him out of the game in the second half of CU. Play all these minutes, chase that guy around, and then do all that stat stuff too. And so his impact is huge, for sure.
Steve Smiley is with us, UNC men's basketball coach. Day-Day's at 16 points, 4 rebounds, an assist and a half, a steal and a half, 43% from the floor, 31.5 from three, 84.5 from the free throw line, as you talked about. Again, they're both at 34 plus minutes per game. You're relying on those guys.
Well, and one thing that we've learned, you start to get enough stats in, and, you know, I don't share a lot of this stuff with these guys, like the deep analytics, but I can tell you this, that I know right now on our team that Saint, DeJure, and Brock are a member of all three of our best defensive lineups.
Wow.
I know that for a fact. You know, you have all these five-man rotations, and You don't. It's hard to view those things after one game. Like, well, you know, it's 8 possessions. But when you start to get up to 10 games and 800 possessions, you start to see trends. And, you know, again, with both these guys and Brock, they're in the three of our top five, but number 1, 2, and 3, those three defensive lines both have all three of those guys in it. And so the stats are cool and all that kind of stuff, but we're trying to win. And so when you look at the winning stuff, you got to guard. And so knowing that part of it's been a big thing that we've learned. And, again, It's really important that we look at the whole thing. But statistically, yeah, I think DeJour is like fourth in the league in scoring, and he's a very humble kid. But he'll tell you too, like, there's another gear in him once he continues to settle in, and we got to continue to learn to how to fit all these pieces together. You know, sometimes we got DeJour technically at the two, sometimes he's at the one, and so we're still figuring all that out too. But he's done a great job so far.
Do you have a preference on where, given your druthers, where you'd like to see him play, one or two? DeJour, that is?
Well, what we're trying to do is what we did with Matt and Dalen. And so Matt and Dalen, we felt we're both point guards. Obviously, Dalen scored it at a crazy level, but Matt could score too. The challenge was if Matt was the one and Dalen's the two and he's in the right corner, we can do all the stuff to get Dalen on his left hand. DeJour can go either way, but he's the lead on his right hand. So we're dabbling in a bunch of little things, even though he's in the right corner, to get him, you know, rotated around to that other side of the floor so he can get on his right hand. And it's starting to make more sense. We're starting to get to some better actions with it because, you know, you put him on that right hand, he's just a disaster to guard. So it's the same idea. Like, I just look at him as guards. You know, I look at DeJour's a guard, Jaren's a guard. Sometimes DeJour brings it up, put Jaren. It doesn't matter to me. We're just trying to find the right matchups and attacks.
And just to clarify, when you say you want Dede on his right hand, if he's in the left corner, he's going to have the better angle,
yes,
dribbling with his right hand to the rim.
Correct.
Or into the lane.
If you're in the right corner, you can't go right unless you can get to the baseline.
Right.
And if you start in the right corner, it's really hard. So that's where the coaching side of it and me having to be creative. You know, you look at, you know, obviously one of my friends at Wyoming, he's got the same good problem is he's got two great guards, and Sam Griffin and a cool Cott. If Cott's the two, he's in the right corner, but he's really good on his right hand. So, you know, just trying to steal from other people and trying to get good ideas because we've got to put these guys in the best position to be good. And so we're still learning that and morphing that along. And sometimes we put DeJour at the one, Jaren at the two. And it's just a matter of how do you put these guys in the best situation where they can be successful.
Yeah. Lastly, before we let you go and get to the guys, Air Force coming up on Thursday. What can you tell us about the Falcons?
Well, one, it's a mentality game. Before you talk about the X's and O's, it's a 2 p.m. game. It's on a Thursday. Every kid on our team and every kid on their team, they know it's the last game before Christmas break. These kids have been up here since June 1st. So fatigue sets in. And you can be tired at 4 o'clock on Thursday, but not 2. Because a lot of these games are goofy. You know, kids are just, all they're thinking about is going home, having moms cooking. You look at these two guys. You know, they're both out-of-state guys, saying going back to Omaha, just we're going back to Syracuse, New York, right? So they're excited to get home, and they should be. But, you know, for all of our guys, like, you got to stay the course of the game's over because it's a mentality. That's the first thing. And then I think the second thing is that, you know, being a 2 o'clock game, it won't be like it's this sold-out crazy thing. All the students are home. And, again, it's you're going to be in a gym. This is why I love playing in Cancun where there's no fans. You know, and just we've had those reps where it's going to feel a little bit more like a neutral court than a crazy road game. With them, they are what they are. They're good. It's a lot more about the system than the personnel, and they have good players. But, you know, with Joe Scott, you know, he's been there for a long time. He's been successful. They win because their system generates a lot of good looks for them. You know, it's the Princeton offense.
Yeah.
And we've spent more time guarding it than I typically like to spend on the opponent, but you just kind of have to do it. Throw out some of your principles and just kind of learn on the fly. Our guys have done a great job all week. We need one more good practice tomorrow to really be dialed into it. But at the end of the day, I feel good about it. And I think, you know, what we just have to do is if you can really guard them well, they'll struggle to score, and they know that. They'll play the shot clock for 28 seconds. And it's for the normal fan, they're like, well, geez, it's just they want a slow tempo. The harder thing is, to me, it's hard to score on them. Because they run this matchup zone, switch everything. You can get real stale. You got to understand how to attack it. It's not necessarily so many plays and sets because they're going to switch it all off. How do you get some mismatches around the rim? How do you get some mismatches on the perimeter and drive those mismatches to score or to get other guys open, get them in rotations? So that's going to be the challenge.
Yeah, it should be fun. Want to wish you and the family a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I know I'll see you before New Year's.
Yep.
I'll see you Thursday, but have a great Christmas. Thanks
Likewise.
For coming down, as always.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley with us at the GOAT. Steve is going to hand it off to St. Thomas. We've got Dede Reeves here as well. Back in a moment on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right.
Every Tuesday night, we're live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place. We're talking UNC men's basketball tonight on the UNC Coaches Show. Forward St. Thomas is with us of the UNC basketball team. Good to see you. Thanks
nice
for coming down.
You too. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start at the beginning. You enter the transfer portal after, what, 2 years at Loyola Chicago.
Yes.
First off, how difficult of a decision was it to say, you know what, I need a fresh start?
It was super difficult because, I mean, like you said, coming from Loyola was like a family type, like type deal, like a culture-based program. And just to, like, realize that it was time to move on kind of hurt me, but then I had to realize change is good sometimes.
Looking primarily for additional opportunities on the court?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, yes.
And so what attracted you to UNC and what ultimately led to the decision to come to Greeley?
Really, like, so my roommate Connor Creech, he's from Nebraska. And so I've always known him growing up. And so he hit me, like, texted me, like, as soon as I entered the portal, like, we have some big things over here for you if you're willing to look at it. And when I came on my visit with DeJour, it was just like I got to play with the team, and it kind of just felt natural. Like, it just came. We, like, my team actually, like, won, I think, came in and won four games straight. So, like, it just kind of felt natural just playing with those guys.
Yeah.
And I felt good after, and they kind of put the pressure on me when he committed, like, right after our open gym. And a couple days later, I just realized I wanted to be a Bear, man.
Yeah, there's something to be said for fit, right?
Yes.
Is that kind of what you're talking
yes.
about? What was it about the practice, the visit, the games with the guys that just seemed to fit for you?
Just really like the – just not really like trying to force anything. Like, I would say, like, on the court, like, kind of just like – we kind of had that feel for each other, like, right where, like, they knew where I was going to cut. They knew when they were going to cut. Kind of just having that chemistry together,
yeah.
like, just, like, right away. But then even off the court, like, even when I came on my visit, it was just, like, the conversations weren't, like, forced. Like, I know they can get very, like, stale, and you kind of just sit there on your phone. But, like, no, we talked the whole time and kind of put our phones aside and – kind of got to know each other a lot more, and it was deeper than just basketball.
Yeah, natural.
Yes.
Very, very comfortable. St. Thomas is with us. He is with the UNC basketball team. We went through some of your numbers with Coach. Did you think you would make this kind of impact this quickly? I imagine you hope to.
Yes, I hope to. I mean, like I said before, as always, I put it in guys' hands, and I trust my work. And, I mean – this night is not a surprise of what I'm doing now because I work at this every day, and I prayed on this every day. So, I mean, and he's just bringing it out to light, and I have to just show up every day and be me.
How do you balance between, you know, knowing what your talents are and knowing what your skills are and knowing that the team is going to rely on you, but also knowing that you got other guys on the team that
yes.
have to be involved and that you want to involve?
Yes.
How do you balance that?
Really just like – like with the coaching staff and says, like, because sometimes they say I'd be too passive aggressive, but I don't look at it that way. I like to be passive aggressive. Like, I like to get my teammates involved to let them know that I trust them. Like, sometimes there might be games where, hey, my shot's not hitting, so somebody has to step up, or I'm getting double teamed, and
yeah.
somebody else has to make a play. So I just like to keep my teammates involved throughout the whole game and keep their confidence high, and I know my confidence is my shot. If it's going in or not, it doesn't. My confidence won't ever get shook. So
no, and Coach, I mean, it's really easy to look at the stats, right? Points,
yes.
rebounds, assists,
yes.
percentages, shooting. What about the defense, though, that Coach referred to? How much do you want to guard the top player or players on the other team every night?
I want to do it every night, even if it's from the five to the one. I ask Coach, like, I kind of get frustrated because, like, can I guard him? Like, he gets a couple buckets. Like, can I guard him, Coach? Like, but, like, nah, I take big pride on the defensive side because, I mean, that kind of generates my offense, really. Like, transition buckets is what UNC basketball lives
yeah.
on. So, really just taking pride on the defense side. I started at Loyola, and, you know, that's really a defensive kind of program. So that kind of, like, got me another gear to, like, there's other ways to win the basketball game, not just going out there and scoring 75 points. And now if you hold the team under 50 points, it's kind of hard to win the – kind of hard for that team to win that game if they're under 50 points.
They say defense is a mentality as much as it is sort of effort and talent. Is that true?
Yes. I mean, it's really like there's a lot of people that say like defense wins games, all this stuff. They have the bigger schools have a lot of like athletic guys. It's just willingness, man. If you're willing to play defense, you'll do it. And a lot of people are not willing to do it, so – I'm willing to, man.
Was there a way that even when you were younger, was that something that's like, man, I love to score. I love to shoot, but I got to play deep. I mean, was that always a part of your game?
I'm not even going to sit here and lie and say it didn't hit until I really got to college. But, like, other than scoring, I would say a big thing that, like, a lot of my people, like, around me used to tell me, like, go rebound, go impact the game in a different way. Like rebound, get steals, get something else other than points, like impact the game that way. So I would say no to the defensive side, but.
Right, and you scored 31 in a game this year. There's still something cool about that, right?
Exactly, I mean,
you can't replace that. Final few moments with UNC forward St. Thomas here at the GOAT on the UNC Coaches Show. I've got to ask you, Coach talked about the Commerce game, and I know that was one that really sticks in all of you, you know, for all of you guys. You were at the free throw line with like 12 seconds left, up three, you had one more free throw. How hard did you take the fact that you weren't able to hit that second free throw?
I went in the locker room and apologized to the team because I feel like I'm a big responsibility of that, being like being the leader of the team, kind of like everybody trusted me to go hit that free throw. Kind of felt like I let them down, but you know, you move on and then next play, and I will get other opportunities other than that. And ever since that, ever since the Commerce game, I don't think I missed a free throw.
No, you haven't missed many all year.
So, yeah, so I take big pride in that. And, I mean, I feel like that was on me. That's a big part. And so it won't happen again. That's all I have to say.
Do you thrive in those pressure situations? And I know that one didn't go your way. But, I mean, do you want the ball with games on the line?
Yes. I feel like big-time players make big-time plays, man.
You're not afraid of the moment.
No. You gotta shine in those moments, man. That's when everybody's watching. And a lot of players, like I said, don't like to step up in those moments. And so I think I'm willing to, because you have to be willing to, like, miss those free throws, like I said. You have to be willing to live with that as well, because you're not going to make everything.
So where does that fearlessness in clutch situations come from?
I would just say, like I said, my work ethic.
Yeah.
I practice I practice free throws almost every day. Me and my trainer back at home, we practice late game situations where I might have to hit a shot here with a hand in my face or whatever, or if I have to make a pass. Like, we practice those situations. So when it comes, it's like it's secondhand nature to me, and I don't get rattled.
I mean, do you when you're practicing, do you like envision yourself, all right, and try and put yourself in that moment?
Oh yes, I envision with 25,000 fans. I really try to envision like 75,000 fans where everybody wants to play in the Final Four when it's loud, and especially you got to get a defensive stop. 75,000 people yelling, so you gotta be loud, try to tell your teammates it's a ball screen coming, switch. I mean, that's the way you got to practice, like it's the Final Four to. If you want to be there one day.
Saina, in closing with you, one of my observations of this UNC team really early in the season, and I'm not around you guys every day, but it just seems like two things. There's just a genuine, as you said, sort of bonding, and you guys like each other, but also there's this kind of nasty and tough streak, this won't be denied kind of streak. Are both of those characteristics of this basketball team?
I would say so. I feel like this group, we have a lot of people in this group that is around, like, the same age, like sophomore, kind of junior.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this group is just, like, you don't always want to be that group that, like, they could have been this, they could have been that. like, and that's what kind of like preaching, like through the weeks that like kind of like we've been going through. Like I said to you, like at the beginning of the year, like I feel like every game is going to be a battle, and every game's we're gonna have to fight through every game to win. And I mean, we come with loss. I mean, we got to take it, but like we got to move on to the next. Like I said, and just keep learning and keep learning from each other. And hopefully, like during conference is when it all molds together. And like I said, this group is special. We have a bond on and off the floor. Like even after practice, we're texting, like trying to play the game, trying to go out to eat. Like we don't ever get tired of each other. I know a lot of teams that I've played for in the past, like once off the court is done, is like you're on to your whatever you want to do. We don't ever like to leave each other, so it's like a brotherhood.
That's awesome. Thanks for coming down. Wish you all the best. Good luck Thursday against Air Force, and Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, thank you.
St. Thomas, UNC forward with us. Really a good, just been an incredible player for the Bears to this point. We'll catch up with guard Dede Reeves in a moment. We are live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue in Center Place. We've got a UNC beanie to give away, and we'll do that right here during the break. Back in a moment on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Final few minutes. We are live at the GOAT every Tuesday night from 6 to 7. Mike Rice with you here on KFKA and in person at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place. We welcome in, as we talk UNC men's basketball tonight, guard DeJour Reeves. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
So let's first get, I think, the question that everybody wants to know out of the way. We've talked a little bit, but your given name is DeJour.
Yes, sir.
How did you – who nicknamed you Day-Day?
My mother.
Your mom.
Yes,
how did
sir.
That come about?
You know the movie Friday?
Friday.
Yes. So it's two movies after that. Next Friday and Friday after next. It's a comedian named Mike Epps. His name in the two movies is Day Day. And that's where she got Day Day from. It's Friday after next.
So she liked the movie.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's my guy. That's my son,
yeah,
Day Day.
Because Day's yours, so... So just something quick, you know.
So I have heard that you much prefer to be called Day Day, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean you're not wanting. I mean, do you not like being called DeJour? I want to get it right. I call you Day Day on the air.
Yeah, I like being called Day Day because people tend to mess my name up. It's really DeJour because it's D-E apostrophe J-O-U-R, but people say DeJour. Or Dior. I don't know really how to get Dior, but somehow they call me Dior. But, yeah, I like to be called Day Day because I feel like you can't mess Day Day up.
D-E-D-E? Is that how you would spell it?
I spell it D-A-E. D-A-E.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, good. So, I'm going to call you Day Day.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. If that's what you want, that's what you get. And we had discussed that because, you know what, if you want to go by DeJour, you want to go by Day Day, either way. But in all seriousness, though, you are off to a really good start. 16 points per game, 4 rebounds, assist and a half, and a steal and a half. Again, same question for Saint. What attracted you to UNC, and how difficult was that decision to transfer up from Trinidad?
What attracted me to come to UNC was just, like, all the coaches. And some of the coaches knew my JUCO coach, Mike Fulda. Shout out to him. But, yeah, like, Coach Molly, Coach Brett and Coach Houston, they all kind of knew Coach Fulda going through the process. And Coach Fulda, he tended to like UNC just as like I did. And then they all treated me like a family when I came here on my visit. So I'm like, and then everything is not all about basketball with the UNC coaches. Because I was doing Ramadan, so I was supposed to come here and do a workout, but they respected everything that I was doing during that time, and then just showing how dedicated I was. So that really kind of led me into coming to UNC. So I don't think it really was difficult in making my commitment to come here because they already showed me that they just more than basketball.
Yeah. Were you on the same visit as Saint?
Yeah.
So you remember those kind of pickup games, those practice games?
Yeah, actually, like, so the first game I played, and then the second game I sat out because I was too tired because of Ramadan. And then the third game I got back on, I ended up guarding Saint during the visit. And, yeah, he was posting me up. I'm just following him. And then, like, we just got a connection from there. And then I got pictures on my phone of me and Saint, too, yeah. just from the visit. So, and then,
that seemed to put you at ease a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
A little connection right there?
Yeah, it was, like, kind of quick, too. It was, like, nothing forced because, like, usually people will try to just force a conversation with you because y'all both there on the same time on yeah. the visit. But, like, me and his was, like, off the rip. It was kind of – it was good.
That's
just
awesome.
Having a connection just with different people.
Yeah.
Quick.
You feel like the continuity on the court is starting to come together with a lot of you guys being new this year?
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely getting a lot better than we for where we first started at. Just, like, just some long days in practice, them after film. It's just, like, we all coming together as one.
How fun was it? I know CU's awfully good. How fun was it, though, to kind of test your mettle against the Buffs the other night?
It was tough.
It was tough.
Yeah,
it's a good basketball team, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I feel like that's going to build our confidence because we started off kind of slow. Not kind of slow, but we could have did better beginning of the first half.
Yeah.
And then just, like, in the second half, we were just fighting. Even though we was down a lot, like, the whole game, we just continued to keep fighting. And then we ended up beating them in the second half, I think, by, like, 1 point. So that just boosted our confidence in coming into the next game Thursday.
Final moments with UNC guard Day-Day Reeves on the UNC Coaches Show. And now you get another Division I team, a Mountain West team in Air Force. I mean, that's kind of down your way when you were at Trinidad a little
yeah,
bit. You look forward to Thursday?
Yeah, a little. Yeah, I can't wait for Thursday. It was like playing Air Force prep because we played them four times when I was there in JUCO. So I'm kind of excited.
How did you go from Syracuse, New York to Trinidad?
One of my high school coaches I played against, I went to Corcoran High School in Syracuse, New York, and then it was a rival school called Nottingham.
Yep.
So one of the assistant coaches there, his name is Antoine, shout out to him. He helped me get to Trinidad State, but at first I was at Seward.
Okay.
Seward Community College, another D1 JUCO. I was there for a semester. Like, me and the coach, like, we really wasn't on good terms, so we kind of bumped heads. And then, like, I didn't go to school. That's the second semester. And then me and just Antoine just got, like, real close after that, and then he hooked me up with Coach Fulda.
Have you always been able to score the basketball? Because you do it seemingly effortlessly.
Yes, sir.
You can brag a little bit. We won't hold it against you.
Yeah, just, like, growing up. You know, I've always been doubted just because of my height.
Yeah.
And then, like, my favorite player was growing up was, like, Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson, because he was short, guard. He could do everything. He could dunk here and there when he wanted to. He could just score the ball at all three levels. So I kind of model my game after him. So I see, like, he could do that at a high level, like in the NBA pros. I feel like I could do the same thing. So he just gave me that confidence into my game and made me feel like I could score on anybody.
Coach earlier tonight on the show talked about the Christmas break. I'm sure you're anxious to get back to New York. Is it hard to stay focused, though, for Thursday's game?
Not really, because I got my parents telling me just focus on the game, and then after the game, that's when you could get all excited and be ready to come home. But I feel like I'm focused enough going into the Thursday game.
Yeah. Great to see you. Thanks for coming down. Have a
Great
wonderful Christmas,
too.
And all the best on Thursday.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Day-Day Reeves, UNC guard, with us on the UNC Coaches Show. That is going to wrap up this edition. We'll be back in 2 weeks right here at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place. Special thanks to Micah Kilpatrick back in the studio. I'm Mike Rice. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year from all of us at 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.